Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
And welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two, or maybe even one, episode of the Pokemon series anime, and whatever other random stuff happens to pop into our heads. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
Hey, yo. What's going on?
Oh, my God. Okay, you asked me first, I guess. What is going on? Nothing really. It's just another Sunday.
Just another manic Monday.
Oh, God. I've got the Sunday scaries really bad.
I know you do. That song was on the playlist when I worked at a grocery store. The Just Another Manic Monday drew me up the wall.
She also says, wish it was Sunday. And I'm like, why don't you say wish it was
Sunday?
Saturday or some other day, because Sunday's not really it.
Man, I hated working in retail. Oh, my God.
I know. It was a nightmare.
The stories.
But we're out of that now.
I had a dream about it last night, actually. That's why it's fresh in mind.
You had a dream that you were back working in retail.
Yeah, I feel like all my dreams are me back in situations I'm no longer in. I have the school dreams all the time.
I thought you said that hadn't happened in a while.
Well, recently I've been back in college in my dreams.
Oh, no. It's happening again.
Yeah. What have you been dreaming about?
Okay, I used to get... My anxiety dreams took the form of my teeth falling out.
I haven't had one of those in a long time.
I haven't had one of those in a long time as well. Honestly, I can't really remember what I've been dreaming recently. Sometimes I do remember, but oftentimes I've been waking up and I just don't remember anything. Speaking of dreams, though, I mean, honestly, it was more of like a trip. We watched a movie last night.
At my insistence, we picked up the David Lynch movie marathon again, so we watched Blue Velvet. Which I have not seen in full, I don't think, ever.
I have never seen that movie, but I'm glad you insisted. I was like, oh, I hope we're not imposing. But then you were like, no, come on and watch this movie.
You said you wanted to watch something weird, and I was like, okay, how about David Lynch then? We're supposed to be doing that.
You don't really get much weirder than that. And it's not as weird as Eraserhead, for sure, but it was a little weird. I am so, oh my gosh, I know I've said this to you off pod, but I'm going to say it again here. I cannot wait for Lost Highway. I cannot wait.
I can't wait to see Mulholland Drive, because I haven't seen that in a long time.
What would you say is his weirdest movie?
Movie?
It's got to be Eraserhead, right?
I haven't seen all of them, so I can't say.
All right, well, I guess we can reserve our judgment until the end. That was fun. Anything else? What else did we do?
I finished Legends EA.
Yay! Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Talk about that. Yes. Give us impressions.
I don't have Pokédex completion, and I don't care about the Mabel's research stuff, but I did finish the post-game. It's done. It's in the past until the DLC comes out. Not my favorite Pokémon game.
Oh? Oh? Oh, oh. Okay.
It was just felt a little small, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
So by now, I'm sure you guys are familiar with the DLC. It's actually coming out really quick. We're recording this on the 16th of November. And so it's actually a little less than a month now until it comes out. I think it was, what, December 10th? I watched the trailer, and spoiler alert here, if you don't want to know about it, what it is or whatever. I was kind of disappointed. I mean, obviously, I haven't played ZA yet. I know it takes place in Lumiose and you don't go anywhere else. It's just the city. I was thinking that the DLC was going to open up the game a little bit. Like maybe you could go somewhere else outside of it.
Like the south of France? Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be the entirety of Kalos. Like I wasn't expecting that. But maybe like one or two of the other towns or something. But no, it's just Lumiose in mono... tone, color, grayscale.
It looks boring.
I'm sad they didn't go all wacky with it. It's not really like fun or like whimsical. It's supposed to be like hyperspace Lumiose.
I mean, it's Hoopa, so Hoopa can literally take you anywhere.
That's why it's so boring. It's literally just Lumiose, but then they put like a grayscale filter on it.
You're letting me down, Hoopa.
I know, Hoopa's... No, okay, no, we can't blame Hoopa. Please, I can't take the Hoopa slander.
I'm going to blame Hoopa.
Ugh. Was there anything about that that looked interesting? I mean...
Not really.
They're supposed to be revealing new megas.
I mean, that's fun, but... I just got a whole bunch of new megas. I'm not... that's not too novel at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bit underwhelmed. I'm like, okay, we got new megas in the game itself.
I do love Mega Chimecho, but...
It's a good design. But, like, that can't really be everything. Like, come on, if you're going to charge us the price you're charging for DLC, like, make it, like, interesting. Like, don't just say, here's some more megas that we locked behind paid DLC. I don't know. I'm doing the thing. I'm complaining. I don't mean to be a complainer, but...
Well, I like the Scarlet and Violet DLC because I liked how you could leave Paldea. I liked how it took you to a new region.
Blueberry, right?
Well, Kitakami. And Blueberry Academy.
Oh, see, I didn't play that game or the DLC, so. Oh my god, speaking of DLC, you want to know something?
Yeah.
This is so old news. I know you're going to be like, what the fuck? Because this is, I'm so late to the game. I actually, after all these years, what has it been like, what, 6 years? I bought the DLC for Sword and Shield.
You bounce around Pokemon games more than anyone else in the entire world. You're always at a random juncture. I said, do you want to borrow Legend ZA? And you said, no, I'm playing Pokemon Shield.
In my own defense, I also had a big milestone moment yesterday. I borrowed a book from Austin years
ago.
5 years ago, guys. I know this sounds horrendous, but I finished reading it a while back, but I actually returned it to Austin yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Guess what I did right after you gave it back?
Burned it. I don't know.
I read the entire thing in one sitting.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I did.
Well, you know what? How does it feel, Austin, not to have a brain problem like I do?
I have my own brain problems. Thank you very much.
They just manifest in different ways. It's true. But anyway, I felt proud of myself. I felt proud of myself because I returned it to you.
It's a graphic novel, by the way. It's not too impressive. I read it all in one sitting.
Now it makes me feel even worse that it took me that long to get it back to you.
We gotta teach you the art of sticky note reminders.
You know what? This never used to be a problem when I was younger. I feel like the inability to like commit to one thing or pay attention has gotten worse in my recent adult life. Anyway, well, that's great, Austin. I'm glad you enjoyed the game at least. It sounds like even though it wasn't your most favorite of all time, it was still enjoyable. So that's good.
I'm looking forward to Gen 10, I'll say that much.
I am too. I'm not looking forward to buying a Switch 2 for it, but...
Neither am I.
Speaking of Switch 2, I watched the Pokopia trailer.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
Guys, I know I complain. I'm like, oh no, Switch 2, oh no, Pokemon costs so much. I am disappointed that Pokopia is going to cost $70. I don't think it's worth that at all.
We've discussed this ad nauseum.
I know. What else is there to say?
Yeah.
We say that, but then we go out and buy it. And there are no sales. Like, back to what I said about buying the DLC. Sword and Shield came out in 2019. The DLC is still full price everywhere. I couldn't find it cheaper anywhere. Anyway, I don't even want to talk about Black Friday coming up because we all know that's a consumption hellscape. So, but Pokopia looks cute.
I'm hoping I can get my couch.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Oh, sorry. Pokopia. Yeah.
Pokopia looks cute. I really, really, really love Pikachu. I think it's adorable. And Moslax, oh my god, it's my new favorite thing in the whole world.
Is that their official names?
I think so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was on their website, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I've only watched the trailer.
Pikachu and Moslax.
Is it a dead Pikachu? What is it?
I heard somebody theorize that it's a Mimikyu that thinks it has become a Pikachu.
That's a cute idea. Oh, Mimikyu, Pikachu. No, maybe not.
Well, look at its tail.
Okay, let me see the tail. I'm looking at pictures.
Look at a Mimikyu tail versus like a Pikachu tail.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's what somebody theorized. Obviously the premise of Pokopia is it's a dystopian wasteland after an apocalyptic event.
Which is hilarious. I love that. That's so silly.
I know.
That's so fun. I've always wanted post-apocalyptic Pokemon, so this is not the form I was thinking of, but you know what?
I wouldn't have put those two together either, but I kind of love the tinges of Fallout meets Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if the reveal is going to be, it's only this, like, small island has been abandoned and the rest of the world is fine.
Yeah.
Or is it all human life on Earth that's been exterminated?
That is such a good question. I don't know.
I'm sure it'll be vague, but I can't stop myself from the headcanon of this is what happens to bridge the Pokemon world with the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon world.
Ooh.
And, like, the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon world is, like, thousands of years in the future after this apocalyptic event.
I mean, people have been speculating that, too. Like, this is the prequel to, like, how Mystery Dungeon stuff or whatever.
I mean, that's fun. We'll see. I doubt it.
You know, it's probably its own thing. It's probably completely standalone. And to be honest with you, this is a very clearly marketed to children Pokemon spinoff game. I don't think they're going to go into the what was the event that led to the destruction of all life. They're not going to talk about it.
It's such a weird decision, but I love it. It's so odd.
I love it, too. I love the implication, even if it's a small taste. In the trailer, I love the part where you first meet the Ditto. Like, and that was weird, too, because at the beginning, you get the Pokeball that seems to be transported in.
Did it escape from the box system?
Ooh, you think that's what that was representing? That's interesting.
Because that's an interesting premise, is like all these Pokemon are trapped in the box system. Oh my
goodness, I didn't even think of that. I thought that was cool. And then when Ditto looks down to see the wrecked Pokedex that looked like it had been there forever with the trainer, you know, and then it took the form of the trainer. It kind of gave me Horizon Zero Dawn vibes in the cave, like when she finds the little earpiece thing that had been there for hundreds of years. I'm interested to see. I mean, I love the art direction. I think the whole premise is cute. Am I going to buy it? Yes. Am I a sellout? Yes. Oh.
I'll buy it when I get a Switch 2, but I won't buy a Switch 2 for it.
Exactly. Yes.
I am a bit hesitant because I've never played Dragon Quest Builders or anything like that. And I'm really bad at, like, what would you call them? Like, maintenance games? Like, building a society kind of stuff? That's not my forte.
You've played Animal Crossing.
Yeah, but then I get bored of Animal Crossing pretty quick.
I completely missed out on the Animal Crossing craze. I didn't have a Switch during that time. I bought it a little later, so that was over and done by the time I got a Switch. So.
Oh, I had Animal Crossing on the GameCube back in the day. Whew.
I'm not really interested in it, honestly. I mean, I thought about getting it during that time, but then it was basically over. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that eventually. Whenever that is, I'm not sure. Obviously, we're both going to have to be getting a Switch when Pokemon Gen 10 comes, but
apparently, it's doing really well. Did you hear about that?
What exactly? The Switch 2?
Yeah, the sales are, like, through the roof, apparently.
Despite everything? Despite the tariffs?
Isn't that wild?
I feel like, I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel like a lot of the people that are buying it, I mean, I'd be interested to see the breakdown of sales between people who are buying it that already own a Switch versus people who have never owned a Switch console buying it for the first time. I would have to think that most people buying it have a Switch already.
I don't know. I couldn't say.
So
I don't know a single person who has one, but you know, neither. That's anecdotal.
I need to see a little bit more, I think. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of exclusives for it right now, is there? I mean, there's Donkey Kong Bonanza. Is that, like, it?
Pretty much.
So, yeah, I mean, why buy it then?
Because of Pokemon!
No. I mean, like, now.
Yeah, nothing yet. Smash Brothers is going to come out, and that's going to be the end of it. Like, that's...
Yeah.
People are going to buy it.
I mean, I guess people buy it for Mario Kart World.
Apparently that's not very good. That's what people say. Really? But I have to play it myself to see.
We need Jacob's opinion. Jacob is the resident Mario Kart fan, so he would know better.
Well, I think he's waiting for me to buy it so he can play it and test it. We'll find out what happens.
It's okay. Like I'm using you to play ZA before I buy it myself. Anyway.
I don't know why y'all seem to think I have all this money. I don't.
Well, I mean, we don't necessarily think that, but if you have it already, then why not just use your copy for now? I don't know.
Okay. All right. We're talking about the Switch 2 extensively.
Yeah. You know what? Just to put it out there to you, Austin, you're always welcome to borrow any of the stuff I have. All right. We talked extensively about that. So, I mean, exciting stuff in the Pokemon world. New games coming out. It's always fun. But we have a Pokemon anime episode to talk about.
Well, we have listener feedback first.
Oh, right.
I don't have any, but you might.
Okay. So, we have some listener feedback from our listener Liam over on Instagram.
Zula666.
Austin, you have a comment directed towards you specifically.
Oh, boy.
Liam says that you are not, and I'm quoting now, not an asshole, Austin.
Beg to differ.
I was going to say you don't know Austin in real life, but then I stopped myself. I love you, Austin.
Who's the asshole of the two of us?
I think it goes back and forth.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, he continues, my rose-tinted glasses often lead me to giving more credit to the Pokemon company than they deserve. They 100% were not thinking about the metagame. Literally, we just finished talking about our rose-colored glasses and how we were going to buy Pocopia, so.
We gotta break free of this. We gotta grow up.
No, don't say that. There's no getting away, Austin.
Okay, go on.
You know, okay, not to sidetrack too much, this is my one comment I'm going to make. I was thinking about this recently, about how long we've been fans of the series, and, like, are we going to continue to be indefinitely? And if I'm being honest with myself, I think the answer is yes. I don't see any situation where I'm not going to be a fan of this franchise, and I'm not going to buy the game. Like, it's too much, too deep. I'm going to have to buy the game. Like, it's just how it is. Sorry. I'm an addict. Okay, so I think also this next comment is in relation to one of the trainer's choice. And I will just apologize, Liam, right now and to everybody else. I don't remember the trainer's choice, like, after we do these. So I'm going to just assume that this is in relation to that and that these are right. Liam says, Lantern takes a quarter damage from steel-type moves and has Volt Absorb, so it almost completely walls off Magneton.
Wait, was that a question?
What was the trainer's choice from last
week? Okay, now we got to figure it. Now we're into it.
Okay, now we need to. I feel like this needs context. Okay, yeah.
Okay. Trainers, which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Magneton? And it says Crobat, Lantern, or Geodude. And the correct answer was Geodude, which I have to imagine we picked.
Liam is saying that Lantern is the better pick, I'm assuming.
Because Lantern has Volt Absorb, which does what?
So Volt Absorb is an ability that grants immunity to electric-type moves and restores 25% of the Pokemon's max HP when hit by one. Is Volt Absorb a hidden ability?
No. According to Bulbapedia, no.
Oh.
Oh, Volt Absorb has been around since Gen 3. Huh.
That's shocking. Oh, shocking. Ah.
Ah!
See, this is so fascinating, and this is why I just love it when you guys write in, and I appreciate it, Liam, for giving us that insight, because this is stuff I wouldn't consider. Apparently, Lantern also has the arguably worse ability, Illuminate, which...
What is that?
This is not a competitive ability. This is just raises the likelihood of meeting wild Pokemon
in the
game. So I guess if you care about that, like if you're trying to farm for some other Pokemon, it might be useful, but like...
Did you know that Lantern has dolphin traits?
Oh my god. Hard disagree, Bulbapedia. All right, so you said you had no feedback this week, Austin.
Nope.
Okay. One episode to talk about today. I'm so sorry. I know you guys are looking forward to two episodes or maybe even three.
Okay.
So what episode is it this week, Austin, that we're talking about?
Fight for the right to party.
I knew that was going to come up.
Did you?
Fight for the right to Meteorite.
Fight for the Meteorite.
That's the real title. I liked this episode. We finally got back into the plot.
Plot.
I said that very...
Quote.
Slowly. Plot. I guess one of us gets the lucky honor to summarize it. Who gets that honor?
There's that word again. All right, let's see who does the Flash Challenge. It's me.
Oh, God. So you guys have to listen to me blather on. Perfect. Austin, are you ready to Flash Challenge?
Yo.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
It's an Ash-focused episode because everyone else gets trapped on the cable car. And Team Magma and Team Aqua in there, and Team Aqua kind of fuck off really fast. But Team Magma, who's led by Tabitha, shoot a laser into the magma because they're stupid. And they have a meteorite that they somehow know is a laser-powering meteorite because that happened in the Game Boy Advance games. I don't know. Professor Cosmo's there. He kicks Tabitha's ass. Hey, yeah! And then the episode's over.
Okay, you know what? I thought, well, maybe this is better saved to, like, MVP, LVP time, but I actually really unexpectedly loved Cosmo, so we'll talk about him in a second.
You mean, like, the most competent person in the world, Professor Cosmo? Yes.
Yes. Surprisingly so. I thought he was going to be another dorky dweeb, but he wasn't. He surprised me and also, you know, humbled me in a sense because you cannot judge a book by its cover.
No, you cannot. Professor Cosmo will kick your ass.
I know. He will kick your ass. I thought he was a Professor Elm type, and he surely isn't. But we have to get to him first. So let's give some context here. And please, Austin, please, I'm begging you, jump in. Anything and everything, because we just got the one, so...
Okay, first of all, this happens in the game. This is a direct adaptation of the game storyline, if you want to call it that.
Yes.
And I don't remember exactly what goes down there. I remember in Ruby and Sapphire, it's like the only time you really see Team Aqua and Team Magma at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it pretty much the same thing? Like, it's like a beat for beat, right?
I think so. I could be wrong.
We should have watched, like, someone's walkthrough on YouTube. Like,
yeah, I know. We're bad podcast hosts because we didn't do our research ahead of time. But I'm going to look up Mount Chimney because maybe it gives us a breakdown of the differences between the two versions. Okay, so I'm going to be lazy and I'm going to just summarize from the Bulbapedia article. This is what happened. So members of Team Magma, if you're playing Ruby, Emerald, or Omega Ruby, or Team Aqua, if you're playing Sapphire or Alpha Sapphire, steal a meteorite from the Meteor Falls and put it in a machine. They intend to cause the volcano to become active in Ruby and Emerald or dormant in Sapphire. In Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, they are attempting to fashion a megastone for Groudon or Kyogre.
I love how ORS made it try to make sense of things.
Yeah, they tried to clean up their own plot when they redid this.
Or lack thereof.
And it is, like you said, a one-for-one thing. I kind of really love this part in the game. I don't know. I liked the whole, like, going up the cable car, getting to the mountain. It's just, it was so, like, mystical back in the day. So the twerps are on their way to Lava Ridge. Ash is very excited, and he continues to struggle with his time management. Or really, like, having empathy for other people, because Brock, May, and Max are very tired. They're, like, running to this cable car station. Ash is very eager to get onto the cable car that is leaving now, which it's...
There's no one on it.
There's no one on it. And I was kind of confused. Are they automatic? Is it, like, they run no matter what if people are on it or not? Or do the actual operators at the station see people get on and say, okay, we're sending you up now?
I mean, that sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen if it's automatic.
The way that they were acting was like, it's leaving now. And there was a alarm going off, which kind of made it seem like, hey, if you're not on it, the gates are closing automatically and it's going without you. So it made me kind of think like it is on a timer.
That's a waste of power if it just runs all day and no one's on it.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. Because we do see that there's like staff. There are members, you know, of the park service or whatever who are running this thing. And so I'm not really sure why they can't just say, oh, hey, there's some people. Like, all right, up you go. Whatever. They jump on the cable car. They just make it in time. And Team Rocket is also here. They have disguised themselves as tour guides, travel agent people, I don't know. And Ash and them don't really pay any attention to them. They're just like, oh, another group that are going up. We sort of cut back and forth at this point to see what's going on at the top of Mount Chimney, where we see a dorky scientist guy who looks kind of like Professor Elm somewhat, sort of. And also kind of like Gary. He's got like Gary hair.
The pointy anime hair.
Yeah. He's looking for rocks and telling corny jokes to himself, which...
was why we thought he was a dweeb.
Yeah. He's a little goofy, that's true. Team Rocket pretends to be the tour guides, and they are trying to get close to stealing Pikachu. This is where things start to become plot relevant, in a sense. They're like, and on your left, you'll see this very obvious red helicopter flying up to the top of Mount Chimney. Nobody seems to think that's suspicious, but we obviously know that that is Team Magma.
Team Magma.
Team Magma. The best team ever.
No, really not.
Really not. So shortly after they arrive at the top of the volcano, this dorky professor guy is ambushed by them. And shortly after, Team Aqua stumbles onto the scene. And they are actually the ones that attack the park staff, the cable car guys. And this stops the cable car halfway up the volcano, which is actually really terrifying.
Yeah, this was kind of a nightmare situation for me.
What if you were on this thing? What if you were on this cable car?
Oh, I'd have a panic attack.
Hundreds and hundreds of feet above the ground, and you're stuck. You're stuck in the middle of it. No way down.
Mm-mm. It's so funny when it feels like they're in mortal peril because they're in a cable car. This is the same show where people get electrocuted and set on fire, and Team Rocket gets sent several miles into the sky and falls down.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh.
That's the funny part, right? It's kind of like the whole SpongeBob thing where, like, impossible stuff happens. Like, they start a fire underwater and, like, all these weird things. They're constantly in mortal danger from all this stuff that you mentioned. But then when you have scenarios like this, it's when they actually act scared that you're kind of like, oh, my gosh.
There are stakes now.
Yeah. So I think that's the difference because nobody really, like, panics when they're, like, electrocuted. They're just like, ow, that hurt. But yeah, so they're stuck now, which is horrifying. As a claustrophobic person myself, I don't think I can manage that. Brock tries the convenient emergency phone, which I guess that's a good thing. They have, like, emergency phones to call back down to the base to say, like, hey, there's something wrong mechanically with the car. Like, can anybody help us or can you send someone to help us? But nobody's answering, so that's a bad sign. Jessie is like me. She crashes out. She's like, I can't deal with this. Get me off of this freaking thing.
She's making her problem everyone else's problem. So, yes, like you.
Oh, my God. Holy personal attack. I would not break the phone off of the wall, though.
No, you would not.
Which Jessie does. It explodes in her face, comically. But now they have no phone, so that sucks. Meanwhile, on the top of the mountain, Tabitha and Shelly are having a sexy standoff.
Is it because they changed their names? Is that the sexy part?
Yes. Can we talk about that?
Yes.
Let's talk about their name change, which was completely unexpected.
They are both now known by their actual names.
Wow.
With no explanation. But I thought it was really funny how the dialogue really emphasizes it's like, hello, Tabitha. Hello, Shelly. What are you doing here, Tabitha? I'm here for the meteorite, Shelly.
They keep saying it. They do say it more than I think we've ever heard them say it before.
It was really funny.
Okay, it really begs the question, though. Why did they, like, find out halfway through?
I feel like, I don't know if they had a break between production of seasons, but I feel like Nintendo stepped in and they were like, hey, you got the names wrong.
Would they change it?
They clearly did. There must be an edict that they had to use the right names, right?
Her name was Isabel. I can't remember what they called him, Tabitha.
Harlan.
Is
that right? Harlan. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. Harlan and Isabel. Oh my God. Okay, so we have corrected the timeline. It's great. They're Tabitha and Shelly now, which...
Oh, I know what it was.
What?
Richie's time traveling. That changed everything. That changed the Team Rocket no longer, or rather, Jesse and James no longer met at Pokemon Tech in the Bicycle Gang. They met at Team Rocket Academy.
Oh, my.
These people's names have changed. What else has changed? so many. Any continuity error we can think of.
Just pin it on
that. Before and after that point. Yeah.
I'll buy it. I'll subscribe to that. Ash is ignoring Team Rocket in the cable car as they try to figure out how to escape.
Good plan.
What's the plan?
Jump out of the cable car.
I mean, to be fair, let's think about this. If we were trapped, suspended high above...
You and I would be useless. That's what we would be doing.
Okay, yes, obviously in real life, what the hell would you do? There's no way you could get down. But, like, I'm not seeing an alternative. You'd have to just wait to be rescued.
Yeah.
Like, hope somebody would come along, like...
But not Ash Ketchum.
No, he's a impulsive man of action. Fortunately, despite their phone being busted into a million pieces, there is a emergency rope, like, hook.
You know, a grappling hook that all cable cars have.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing something wrong if you don't equip your cable car with a grappling hook. Which I'm kind of curious why they put that there. I mean, I guess you could, like, attach it to the cable car and, like, shimmy down, but... Luckily for them, they were near one of the suspension, like, the towers that, like, have the cables on it. So Ash is able to take the rope and throw it, hook the tower, and defying physics, he's able to sort of crawl across.
Did you ever see... This is going to sound crazy, but I'm going somewhere.
Okay.
Did you ever see the movie Frozen?
Yes, I did.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think you did.
Oh, God.
Because this is not the Disney movie Frozen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was clearly misunderstanding you because I was thinking that let it go, don't hold it back anymore. Okay.
Nope, nope. I'm talking about what year did this movie come out? Sean Ashmore, isn't it?
I'm going to say the 90s of some kind.
No, it's 2010.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's on Tubi, actually. Tubi has it for you.
Tubi has it for you.
In that movie, three annoying teens... are on what do you call them? I've never gone skiing in my life. So what do you call the ski lifts? They're on a ski lift at night. And through some happenstance, they get abandoned on the ski lift. And there's no one around for miles to see them. Okay. And I guess they don't have cell phones. I don't know. So they're sitting there on that ski lift overnight for hours. And it really reminded me of this sequence in this episode.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, the horror of it. There's wolves, of course. There's wolves below them.
So they can't just, like, jump down.
One guy tries jumping and he breaks his legs.
And the wolves get him?
Yes, and the wolves
Good
get him.
Good God! This is a horror movie.
It is a horror movie, actually, yeah.
Oh!
And then Sean Ashmore, who you might know as Iceman from the X-Men movies.
Okay.
He tries to do what Ash does, which is, like, you know, climb the cables to get to the tower and then climb down. But I think the wolves get him, too.
Oh, no, no. That's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, can we just have the, like, spoil the ending? Like, what? How do they get out of this?
I don't remember exactly. The final girl, she gets down. She has to outrun the wolves or something. I don't remember how she does it.
Wow. Okay, I didn't think that's where you were going with that. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be, like, a horror movie at first. I was thinking, oh, this is going to be, like, a quirky, stupid 90s, early 2000s movie where, like, is there, like, a magical snowman involved somehow? Like, I don't know what I was thinking. I think I was conflating, like, Jack Frost with, like, Frozen. I don't know.
The worst part is, like, when their skin is stuck to the metal of the ski lift and, like, you know, like, peel it off. It's,
okay, gross. This is completely not what I was expecting. That's scary.
I was thinking of that movie the entire time during the cable car scenes.
That seems appropriate. Honestly, this could have gone way worse for the twerps, but because it's Pokemon, nothing bad ever happens. Ash is able to use his incredible physical prowess to sort of start crawling over to the tower. Unfortunately... Once again, Jessie's impulsiveness foils the plan. She takes a running jump and dives off of the cable car and onto the rope, but she slips and is hanging on for dear life. Ash, meanwhile, is like, oh my God, stop, you're ruining everything. Jessie screams out for James and Meowth to help her, and so, of course, what do? They jump onto her.
Oh my God. What's going on?
They don't think. But I do have to really respect the fact that they are basically ride or die. You know, they throw themselves to her to be with her to try to help, even though, of course, this doesn't help at all.
I was fully expecting them to just plummet to the ground and be fine.
They would have been fine.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, they blast off all the time. That's why I'm confused. They blast off all the time and fly hundreds of miles and fall to the ground and survive. So why couldn't they just, like, jump off of this? You know what it is? Maybe it's because the blasting off action is something that's happening to them, not something that they jump willingly into.
It's all mental.
Mental, that's right. So the rope snaps, of course. Ash swings to the tower. Jesse and James swing back towards the cable car, so they're hanging there uselessly. Ash manages to shimmy down this large metal tower, and he's like, I'm going to go get some help. You guys wait here. I'll be back.
And basically, they're done for the episode.
Yeah. This isn't a TWRP or Team Rocket focused episode at all. They just have some sandwiches. Really, honestly, that's all I'm going to mention because they're gone. But for some reason, Ash makes the decision to run up the mountain versus back down to the station.
Was the implication that they were close to the top and so that would have been the quicker way to go?
I thought they were in the middle.
Okay.
I could be wrong. But my thought was, like, they're in the middle of it, so it would be equidistant either to the top station or the bottom.
I figured it out. I know what was happening.
What?
Ash saw the Team Magma and Team Aqua helicopters and was like, something's going down, and I'm Ash Ketchum, and I have to be the one to solve it. Mm. So he wasn't trying. He didn't care one lick about everyone on the cable car. He was like, there's an action happening, and I'm Ash, so I got to put myself in the middle of it right now.
I wonder if he even, like, consciously thought that, or was it his subconscious drive to, or, like, was it destiny, you know, pulling him?
I think he saw those helicopters and was like, I gotta see what's going on. This is my objective now.
Okay, true. He forgot his friends. He's like, he's like a
magpie.
He completely
forgot all about them. He didn't think of them at all.
No, honestly, no. He's a magpie. He's drawn to anything, like, shiny, and by shiny, I mean, like, other stuff, not his friends. So he's running up to the top of the volcano where all the helicopter activity is. And what would you know, as luck would have it, he bumps into the dorky professor. Surprise. Did you forget about him? He is running away from a bunch of Team Magma goons. And so they get acquainted with each other.
Trainers.
Oh, trainers. Oh, God, what... What's his word?
Oh, no. What's it gonna be?
No. God, no.
Trainers. Which one of these Pokemon evolves into Medicham? Magnemite, Machop, or Metatite?
Oh, good. It's an evolution one. Metatite, please.
Trainers, if you said Metatite, you were right.
Thank God.
Also, you should know by now, just because it's an evolution one doesn't mean it's going to be simple.
True. Although, I think we've discovered where we really get tripped up. Is the type matchup ones.
I think it's the resistances that we really get confused on.
Thankfully, we have some very nice listeners who...
Yeah, there's like multiple layers going on here. There's like Four Kids gets it wrong. We get it wrong. It's like there's a lot going on.
We sound like goofy idiots trying to think we get this right and explain why that's the correct answer. But we learn something new every single time.
But Metatite evolves into Medicham.
Thank God. With that out of the way, we are back to Professor Cosmo. That is his name. He introduces himself. We love Professor Cosmo.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, he's pretty cool. He's a scientist who has dedicated his life to researching space, asteroids and meteors and rocks and such. So it's pretty interesting.
I really thought his logic was really cool.
Yeah. What does he say?
He specializes in meteorites. He always was fascinated by the fact it's one of the few things in astronomy that you can physically touch on Earth to study.
From outer space.
I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. I like that. That's
Yeah, that actually, it's pretty fascinating. And honestly, you know, I don't really give a lot of thought to meteorites just because we don't have the privilege to really, like, find them in our everyday life. I know some people... are sitting there in their you know, living rooms, and all of a sudden, like, meteorites, like, smash in through their ceilings, which...
I'm still convinced I got hit by a meteorite one time.
When driving?
Yeah.
It could have very well been.
It could have been a bird dropped something on my windshield, but there was not any cars anywhere near me. There was nothing that would have kicked up any sort of anything. It was just, I was driving on an empty road, no one in any direction, and all of a sudden, something hit my windshield and there was a crack.
It could have been a very small piece of one, who knows?
Or it was like a really intense bird shit, I don't know.
But yeah, no, Cosmo's interesting. He studies that sort of thing, and I really enjoyed his responses, but I feel like Ash ruined the moment, like, repeatedly, because he just can't fathom anything beyond his own existence and, like, Pokemon. He's like, mysteries? What? Meteorites? Huh? What? Space? Huh? Like, he's just so out of it. This poor professor guy. I guess that's what you get when you have a bunch of 10-year-olds that just, like, don't take science class. They're just out wandering around in the wilderness.
Ash loves science, but he's not any good at it.
We haven't met Clamont yet. We need to get there, but not quite yet. Okay, so Cosmo is after this meteorite because, I don't know, I guess he read, like, Meteorite Monthly and, like, knew that there was going to be, like, meteorites in the area. I don't know.
Presumably, I'm assuming he just, like, saw it and it was like, oh, it landed somewhere around here, and he came to go find it, right?
Okay, wait, he does have a device at the beginning.
Oh, the meteorite tracking device, of course.
Yes, of course. I think, honestly, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think he just, like, heard of a meteorite falling in the area, or his little tracking thing went off, and he's like, oh, let me just go and get it. And he's not thinking anything beyond, like, oh, it's just a run-of-the-mill meteorite. He finds this meteorite that has fallen and determines to keep it away from Team Aqua and Team Magma, because Ash explains to him that he's run into these two teams in the past and they're evil up to no good. So Cosmo is like, oh, yes, for sure. We have to keep it away from them because whatever they're going to do with it is not going to be for anything good. Unfortunately, Team Magma ruins the moment and they swoop in with their Golbat and steal the meteorite back to put into their very interesting looking bazooka laser beam volcano machine.
Okay. Team Magma is always up to something crazy. Did Butler design that one? I don't know.
It looks very... You know what it looks like? I know what it reminds me of now. It looks like it's something that came out of, like, Bowser's castle.
Does it?
It's got these, does it like... Like that? You know Bowser's, like...
It's very needlessly ornate, yes.
Yes, it's got spikes all over it. You know how Bowser's, like... What would you call his, like... BDSM gear that he wears, the spikes.
Yeah, that was always an interesting choice, wasn't it?
It's just the thing. Okay, what the point I'm trying to make is, it's covered in spikes. All right, I don't know why it doesn't do anything other than give it some, like, goth aesthetic. I don't really know.
I'm convinced Team Magma's making shit up as they go. They're like, it put spikes on it.
Clearly, they're making shit up as they go. They're insane people. So they get the meteorite, they put it in this fucking thing, it shoots out a laser beam straight into the volcano lava, and they're like, oh no. They say some, I didn't even write this down because it's complete gibberish, the volcano control system is go, all systems, critical mass, blah.
Oh, of course, the volcano control system, duh.
Duh, of course.
Okay. I'm going to engage with this on its own level, just
please
for the fun of it.
Please do.
Is the logic here, Team Magma wants to make Mount Chimney erupt, and this is kind of like their test trial, because they want to reliably blow up volcanoes frequently? Is that the plan? They're like, we're just going to go around and cause volcanoes to erupt. That's our plan. That's our goal.
Yes. I mean, I'm assuming, and this is just me assuming, okay, they want to make the volcanoes erupt to, spew the lava out. That way it hardens into magma and then more earth.
So would the best option to do that is do underwater volcanoes and make them come up to the surface? Mount Chimney's landlocked.
they would have to influence the tectonic activity of the entire planet in order to create new volcanoes or bring them to the surface. So maybe that's beyond them right now. I don't know. Does any geologists want to weigh in here? Not sure.
Do any Team Magma scientists have anything to say about this?
Can you just, like, give us a crash course on the plan here? Because I think it's what you said. They're not really thinking very critically. They're just being impulsive.
I mean, how funny would it have been if they had triggered a volcanic eruption and then they all immediately died in the eruption?
It'd be kind of sad, to be honest. Yeah, the Pokemon world doesn't work like that, I guess. So they are shooting their laser beams at the lava.
Into the earth.
Great. And it seems to be working, and it's becoming a dangerous situation. Ash and Cosmo come up with this plan, and I guess, honestly, I can't fault them for this. I don't think I would have been able to come up with a better plan. Cosmo distracts them by throwing rocks at them.
Which is how you know he's a Chad.
He throws rocks at them. Ash sneaks over to the BDSM volcano laser thing and tries to smash it open, but can't get it open. So he's like, you know what? Brute strength is the answer. Pikachu, Thunderbolt. Not sure what the consequences are going to be, but Thunderbolt this thing. It disrupts the process, but it doesn't entirely stop, which is a problem. And so this is my all-time favorite Cosmo moment. He jumps in and basically, okay, so Tabitha is trying to attack Ash because he notices this, right? He's like, you little shit, I'm going to stop you.
And he recognizes him.
He does. He does recognize him from before. But Cosmo is a complete Chad, like you said, jumps in, tackles Tabitha to the ground.
Holy shit, that was so badass.
It was badass. He slams him to the ground like some kind of WWE wrestling move. It was awesome.
Because you look at Tabitha and he's like, you know, this big, burly muscle dude. Ooh. And like, spindly little Professor Cosmo is like, fuck you. And like, knocks him to the ground.
I know.
It's awesome.
Fucking cool. So he smashes him to the ground. And then, not only does he do that, he turns around and then basically bulldozes this machine, which it's like a small car. I would assume it's like as big as like a Fiat or something.
And it's not on wheels or anything.
No, it's not. I can't remember how Team Magma got it into position, but I think they used the Pokemon's help. I can't remember. Could be wrong on that. He pushes the whole thing single-handedly by himself into the volcano.
Professor Cosmo was channeling that adrenaline that you use to pick the car up off your baby.
Yes.
And he was like, I'm going to get this thing out of here. And he pushes it.
He had a Hulk out moment. He freaking just pushed that thing. It was amazing. Of course, Team Magma is infuriated. And they're like, oh no. Like, okay, abort the mission. This is over. Team Aqua has been somewhere. I don't even know what the hell they were doing this whole time. Honestly, I don't know. They were useless. But they both decide to fall back because they're plan was disrupted
by the might of Professor Cosmo.
But yeah, by the mighty Professor Cosmo. And honestly, this might be one of my favorite Pokemon moments of all time. Shelly, oh my god, Shelly is like patting herself on the back. She's like, good job team, we foiled Team Magma's plans. Great, wonderful job. Cut to Tabitha also stroking his own ego, and he's like, well guys, great job, we foiled Team Aqua's plans.
These idiots deserve each other.
I know. They're so stupid. God, I love them so much. I'm like, you guys, like, failed. You failed in every way. And it wasn't even either one of you that really caused this problem. It was Cosmo. They're so high on their own supply. Like, they just think that, yeah, like, we stopped them from getting what they wanted. So, great job. Ridiculous.
I don't even have words.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It was. And so both of them fly off in their respective helicopters. I guess, to be fair to Officer Jenny or the police, how the hell were they supposed to get up there in time? Cable car's down, so. Although, don't they have their own helicopter?
Who? Officer Jenny?
Yeah.
Officer Jenny's on the take. She doesn't care.
That is true.
We really have nothing to say about this. It's just absurd.
Okay.
One thing I will question. Okay, go on.
No, I was going to ask you real quick. Do we see Cosmo again?
No.
Oh, no, that's so sad. Oh, it's too bad. He's fun.
The basic question of this episode I had, How were both Team Aqua and Team Magma aware that there was a meteorite in the vicinity that they could use to put into their BDSM Bowser space laser? They were, like, aware of the chemical composition of the random meteorite that just landed, and that it could power a laser? Why not use a diamond or something?
Maybe I'm wrong here, but it seemed like only Team Magma was aware of the meteorite.
Okay, fair enough. And Team Aqua was like, we got to intercept them.
Yeah, it kind of... So Team Magma is the one that had the contraption. So they obviously were prepared to use it, knowing that there was going to be the meteorite catalyst or whatever that they could put into the machine to power it to do this whole volcano system thing that they were doing. Team Aqua, on the other hand, was just there to run interference.
That makes sense. The real question is, how did Team Magma know?
I mean, if Cosmo had a little beeper device...
They also had a beeper device?
Right? I mean, they had to have, right?
They're like, oh, look, a rock made out of space laser EM is in the vicinity. We gotta go find it.
I thought they were gonna go somewhere with... Do you remember the comment that Ash made when he held the meteorite? And he's like, wow, it's so much heavier than I thought, or something.
Yeah, it was like lead or something.
I thought... And maybe, of course, it was just the composition of the meteorite itself. I don't know. Maybe I was thinking there was something in it.
A Deoxys?
Oh, maybe.
That would have been a cool twist.
Yeah. Could you imagine if it, like, cracked open and that was some, like, teaser towards, like, Deoxys? I don't know. That'd be cool.
Ruby and Sapphire has a lot of space stuff in it.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that? It has this meteorite storyline. It has the Space Center on Mos Deep. It has Deoxys. Jirachi's kind of spacey with its comet and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Obviously, they were feeling some kind of inspo, space-themed something or other. Team Aqua was pretty, like, useless. They've just been kind of there and not really contributing to anything, really.
I would argue they were successful in their mission of stopping Team Magma. They didn't actually do it, but someone did.
Yeah, but they took credit for it, as they do.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, any other thoughts on this? Because honestly, I was hoping a little more would happen, but...
No.
I am, like I said, I'm bummed out we don't see Cosmo again. I feel like that has more potential, like, as a continuation.
Well, what would you want to see him do in the future?
He had a bigger role in the game, right?
I don't think he did. I think in Oras he has something to do with Deoxys, but...
Okay, I'm going to have to look this up.
I need to play Oras. I really do.
I don't want Cosmog, please. I don't... Bulbapedia, please.
It's with a Z.
Professor Cosmo. Let's see what it says. In the games, Professor... And this is from Bulbapedia, to cite my source. Professor Cosmo leaves either with Team Magma or Team Aqua for the Meteor Falls. So yeah, he's involved in Meteor Falls, thinking they're going to help him excavate meteors. However, the offending team steals the meteorite, intending to use it to power their machine at Mount Chimney. After you defeat the grunts and the leader of the team, the player can take the meteorite from the machine and return it to the professor in exchange for a TM.
Oh.
Return? You get return. That's it? Jesus. In Gen 6, the player keeps the meteorite for themselves after receiving it. Okay.
What does the meteorite do? Oh, is the meteorite from Mega Rayquaza?
It says in... Oh, this is the Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire special demo version. Remember that? Jeez. Takao appears in Mos Deep Space Center asking for Orlando and Steven's help.
His name is Takao?
I guess. In the Delta... Okay, I skipped ahead a little bit. In the Delta episode of Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, Professor Cosmo works at the Mos Deep Space Center to help stop the giant meteorite that's on a collision course with the planet. After noticing the meteorite's approach, he enlists the help of Steven and the player in retrieving shards that are required to power the device intended to warp it somewhere else. This plan is ruined when Zinnia, believing the warp hole will transport the meteoroid to another universe to be its problem, destroys it, much to his shock. Then you get Rayquaza's help, and Cosmo is seen celebrating at the Space Center.
Okay, so I was right, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
And he also gives the player a Galadite.
Cool.
And mentions that he intends to forward the new information to Professor Sycamore. So I guess maybe he really doesn't have as big of a role as I remembered him having in the games.
I will say, however, I looked it up. The meteorite, according to Bulbapedia, it transforms into multiple iterations.
What?
And the climax of the Delta episode, the player feeds the meteorite to Rayquaza
ah!
to give it the necessary energy to Mega Evolve.
So it did have a purpose after all that time.
However, in the anime, we kind of skipped over this. The meteorite was still in the BDSM space laser when Professor Cosmo summoned his inhuman strength to shove it into the lava. And it's like a very somber moment because he's like, we missed out on learning from the meteorite. Little did we know at the time that meteorite was actually the keystone for Rayquaza to Mega Evolve, we would have thought.
I do feel sad for him knowing that in the anime that he will never have the opportunity to discover that.
Well, when we finally get to Mega Rayquaza, we'll see how that goes.
Sure.
Rayquaza or Rayquaza? I can never remember.
Rayquaza. I don't know. I feel like...
Either one.
Rayquaza. I used Rayquaza earlier, but, you know, having listened to people say Rayquaza in recent times, I guess I kind of go back and forth.
I'm going to call it Ray Ray.
Ray Ray.
Yeah, Ray. Mega Ray Ray.
You know what? Honestly, thank God for Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby, because it answers a lot of the questions, cleans up a lot of the mess that was the original plot.
Mm-hmm.
I am sad that I never, and this is my fault completely, I never played the Delta episode. I never got that far.
We got to do it because this is too much lore. This is way too much lore that we don't know about. We got to figure it out.
Oh my God.
Now's the time.
You're going to have to be the one to start because you know me.
Oh, I know.
I jump around. We talked about this. I jump around too much. I'm on Shield right now. I'm not going to get distracted and go to Alpha Sapphire right now. So.
Oh, I will.
You do it. You finish ZA, so you're free. Why do you look like that? Why are you making that face?
I was just thinking, oh, I got to play this stupid game now. Oh, man, we reached the point where I have to play it.
You own it. When did that game come out?
2013, 14?
Okay, it's been over 10 years. We don't have it. We should have no excuses. You guys out there listening are like, pathetic. You have a Pokemon podcast. You never played the games. Pathetic.
Now, do we want to close it out with the MVP, LVP, and quote?
I think we should.
I'm going first.
All right.
My MVP is Professor Cosmo.
God, of course.
The best.
The best.
What more needs to be said?
Nothing. Honestly, he's the GOAT.
My LVP is going to be, a lot of options for this one. I'm actually going to give it to Jessie.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, she was out of control. She was going to get everyone killed and not okay, Jessie.
PSA of the day, if you're trapped on a cable car, don't destroy the emergency phone and don't jump out onto the rope and break it.
Yeah, we need to hold her accountable for her actions. All right, quotes. Professor Cosmo is a dweeb. As much as we love him, I think he certainly has some dorky moments.
Sure.
And one includes when Ash says, "What were you running from?" And Cosmo says, "Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm being chased by a dozen strange strangers."
That was cute. My MVP, I'm going to give it to Tabitha and Shelly.
Oh, I knew it.
For being ridiculous. I love them so much. I'm glad they finally got their real names back. I just love them. They're both absurd. And you could just, honestly, I know we talked about this the last time when we saw them in the cave. You could cut the sexual tension with a knife.
Do you think they would have that sexual tension if it was their new designs?
No. Gross. Not at all.
No.
Nope. I mean, new design, Shelly is really hot. I know we talked about this before. I'm not trying to shame Tabitha's new design, but he looks like...
a troll.
A troll. He's just too, like, jolly looking. I don't know. There's not the same sort of, like, gravitas. I don't know. Okay, my LVP. You know what? I'm going to give it to fucking Tabitha and Shelly.
Oh!
You know what? Honestly, no. Team Aqua and Team Magma in general, I guess. Because they're so stupid. They don't have any, like, semblance of an idea of what's going on. What is their goal here?
I feel like at any point, Ash is going to ask them, "And what do you call that?" And they're going to look at him and say, "The Aristocats."
Oh, my God. You can't take them seriously. They're not, like, menacing. They're just silly. I am looking forward to seeing Archie and Maxie. Where are they, please? I think it's time.
Don't hold your breath.
I know. I'm building them up in my head. I know they're not going to be, like, anything, but... Anyway, I have a couple quotes. I'm just going to, you know what? I'm just going to read a couple of them. This is my quote I'll go with as my official one, I suppose. It's when they're running to the cable car at the beginning and Ash, you know, slumps down in the chair. They get on the car. He's like, ah, just in time. Max goes, oh, I feel like I ran a marathon. And May says, being chased by Beedrill. And Ash, being the little shit he is, says, you guys are out of shape.
Oh, did he say that?
Yes.
I entirely missed that.
He dragged them. He's like, you guys are out of shape. I'm like, what?
I'm sorry, Ash. We're not all fucking superhumans. Goddamn.
I know.
We can't all rappel down from a cable car tower. Jesus Christ.
He has been journeying for years, whereas Max is a child and May hasn't been journeying for years. So my other quotes that I have are, I love this one from Cosmo, where he's talking about his passion and love of space and stuff like that. And he says, the universe is chock full of questions and mysteries. And Ash says, mysteries? Like what?
Stupid.
Stupid.
He's all brawn, no brain.
I know.
That Ash.
The other ones aren't so good, so I'm going to skip them. That was really it.
We'll get ready for more Ash next week.
Great. What do we got?
Our two episodes are Poetry Commotion and Going, Going, Yawn.
It's poetry in motion.
No, 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 no.
When she sets her eyes to me, she blinded me with science. That has to be a reference to that song, right?
No, down, down, down.
I look forward to that. Austin, any other things you want to say? Anything else?
Did Josh watch this episode?
He did not.
I just want to know what he thought of Team Aqua and Team Magma.
I don't know if he would necessarily remember them. Maybe.
No, probably not.
Are there any episodes upcoming that you think he should watch?
Not really, no. He doesn't care.
I know, he really doesn't care. But we care, and that's why we do this. And we know you guys out there care also. And we'd love to hear from you, so give us your feedback. You can do that at our Gmail account. We have a Gmail, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can always reach out to us on social media. We have a blue sky. Austin posts some really funny stuff over there all the time. So check it out.
Yeah.
Follow us. I think it's funny. Out of the Drying Pan is our handle, @outofthedryingpan. Same over for the Instagram. You can reach out to us over there like our listener Liam does, and we super appreciate it. If you want to support us, we have a Patreon. You can always check that out by going to the link in our description. We would really appreciate it. And if you can leave us a review anywhere or 5 stars, that would really help us out as well. As always, we love to say thank you guys so much for listening. And we hope to see you next week as the journey continues.